finding those productivity tools that help you save time running your business so that you can focus on your client relationships, right? And I really think those and developing your skill and being expert in it and then constantly working on that craft and evolving it so you have an edge over, you know, the other things that are out there. I have a belief that, you know, with all this automation and AI and what have you coming along, the one thing you cannot commoditize is creativity.
For Millo, this is Brandon Hull, and this week we've got a special bonus edition of Freelance to Founder, featuring the story of Mike McDermott, founder of FreshBooks. Mike scratched his own itch, as they say, solving a pain point he personally faced in sending invoices to clients as a freelance web developer. You may know that much, but what you probably don't know is his backstory and how it fueled his desire to build something of his own. Stay tuned. Speaking of building something your own, this special episode is made possible by our friends at Ripple. When you don't have your own marketing team, but know you need to do more to build your social following, Ripple is the way to go. Ripple is a mobile app that helps you attract and engage potential customers on social networks. You do this by creating beautiful images or engaging videos that you can then customize with your colors, your text, and more, and then deploy that content to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and other destinations. Designing is easy, sharing is even easier. You'll also love their in-app stats and recommendations. Check them out at ripple.com/FTF. And listeners can enjoy their pro service for free for 7 days to give it a whirl. That's ripple.com/FTF, ripl.com/FTF.
It's a bit of a cliche to think outside the box, isn't it? And yet we all know people who are creative or who take chances or are relentless when it comes to problem solving. But what about people who are so determined to improve their companies that they'll fund employees, creating a direct competitor within the walls of their own business to test their standing in the marketplace? And we're talking funding it to the tune of over 18 months of development, new customer signup, and market validation. That takes guts. In this story, those guts belong to Mike McDermott, founder and CEO of FreshBooks. We're going to wind back the clock to introduce you to the younger Mike McDermott before bringing you back to the present day and what led him to relaunch FreshBooks in 2016, despite years of market domination. Mike was born and raised in a small town just outside Toronto, Canada, the fourth of four children to Robert and Claire McDermott.
Well, my dad was son of the town doctor in the small town he grew up in, and himself a high achiever, and was an engineer and a lawyer. Helped build up a firm here in Toronto that was quite a good size. And then my mom was the entrepreneur of the family. She built a variety of things, but more in the nonprofit sector, and so she started programs for a variety of constituents that she believed were underserved. And these include, she actually did a great thing here where she would help people. She built a multi-million dollar program to help people get their first jobs. And it would find people in the corporate world and get suits, because part of the reason people couldn't get jobs is because they weren't dressed to look the part, right? And so finally, probably her most proud thing career-wise was she built a program called Kids Have Stress Too, which is about helping children in elementary schools and things of this nature understand that they have stress and give them coping mechanisms. A lot of kind of inner city school work that she was in the classrooms helping people with. And now it's actually nationally here in Canada. It's making its way into various states in the U.S. And it's just a really highly impactful thing, because lots of kids don't even know that what they're feeling is stress, let alone how to deal with it.
With an 11-year range between his eldest brother and himself, Mike jokes that he learned from everyone else's mistakes. You could almost sense a cringe that his siblings might hear this on our show.
I feel like you really need my siblings to answer. And I'm sure it wouldn't be pretty if you got them. So I don't know. I had the benefit of learning from everyone else's mistakes, right? I watched my siblings go to school and, you know, go through all these stages in life. And so I felt very sort of blessed to have that perspective. Yeah, to some extent, they were, I wasn't really adventuring for some time off on my own because I was kind of doing things that, you know, they had already done.
He loved sports, mostly hockey, was a happy-go-lucky kid, and doesn't remember having much in the way of mentors necessarily. That wouldn't come until later.
I don't think I really knew what a mentor was. I hadn't really seen them, or I grew up in a generation where I wouldn't really call my parents. I never doubted for a day in my life that I was supported or loved, but I wouldn't exactly call them coaches necessarily either. And so it wasn't really on the home front. I know some parents afford that to their children. And then at school, I didn't really come across it. And it wasn't till, frankly, undergrad, university, when I started, sort of playing some sports there, that I started bumping into people who were kind of oriented a little more that way. I didn't really have that almost until really in earnest my entrepreneurial career. And then some people started, kind of leaving some fingerprints on me in a very good way.
Mike mentions his entrepreneurial career as though it was further down the road. But the truth is, he had that bug early on. In fact, his mother nurtured that in him, encouraging him to consider how he could impact others' lives while working for himself.
I think there were signs. I remember, I mean, it's going to sound silly, but as early as grade two, when we did like parent-teacher night and people are like, show your work, like, I designed a video game and told people I was going to sell a lot of it. And I got lots of comments back from, parents actually saying that I was pretty entrepreneurial. But to be honest, until I was like 30, I forgot that I had done that. And I remember my mom actually, to her credit, gave me a book one year for, we celebrate Christmas in my family. So it was like grade 12 or something like that. She gave me a book about, entrepreneurship. And I was like, I literally, and this, I mean, I guess says probably something about me. I was like, oh, why would you give me this book? So no, it wasn't clear to me. I think it started to get clear to her. And then, and then just coming out of school, I was just unhappy with every path and alternative until I started doing things on my own. And that's, it seemed to be a theme. I kept coming back to like, when I'm building something, I'm happy. And when I'm not, I'm not.
But Mike followed the more traditional path, at least initially. He enrolled at Queen's University and then saw that corporate wall staring right back at him.
I do think like I worked pretty hard in like high school and stuff like that. And I did have a time where I think it's an important lesson. It was kind of like my breaking point from I grew up in a wonderful household with very clear expectations. And they were probably steering me more to the more that, like be a lawyer or when I finished high school, I got accepted to this really good business school, but I took a year off. And I actually went out west, and I was a ski lift operator for a year, and I was like 17, but that was actually where I started. I think that's where I began to kind of like find my way. I then went to undergrad, went to this business school, didn't love it, but I think the next point that becomes relevant was I left the program at the start of the fourth year, and I started two businesses. So I went to a very good business school in the end. I almost can't believe I got in. So I did. And what the thing about that business program is that they're just trying to churn out middle managers for like P&G, right? Like brand managers. So that was kind of, and I actually hated it. And it sort of put me off the path of almost doing business for a bit. It just wasn't for me. And I think the people in the program, they're all perfectly nice, but I had no affinity for them.
In general, Mike was a well-rounded kid like this. He applied perspective to everything he was involved in. There are stories circulating from his mother that he would go on multiple weeks-long canoe trips as a counselor with younger kids, even as young as 14 years old himself. In fact, he would sit his parents down and outline his plan for the year, including adventures just like this. Later, after he graduated from university, he started doing freelance work for others. He ran a four-person design firm, building websites mostly, and then he met Joe Sawada and later Levi Cooperman.
But I got very into Ultimate Frisbee. for a number of years. It was my first kind of like all out passion where kind of no one would stop me and I could stop me. And I was sort of self-governed and, competing sort of internationally to running events and all these kinds of things. It was, I threw myself into it. And along the way, I actually met Joe, and that was a great gift. And, we met through a mutual friend who introduced us, and we had this common ground of being into Frisbee. And then Joe and I started working together for a while before, 8 months or something like that, before he introduced me to Levi. And then not long after that, Levi left his job, and, he and I have been working, together sort of side by each for, over a decade now, ever since.
See, while running that design firm, Mike really disliked the billing and admin aspect of the business. But the breaking point came when he saved a new version of an invoice for a current customer, ruining some history of his past work and creating a major headache for himself. It was that one minor mistake that helped him realize tasks like this should be much easier and safer than the way he was currently doing things, which was the way most freelancers do things. It was the straw that broke the camel's back.
I think you could say it like that. Like, I'd studied, accounting in this business school, and I had actually done some bookkeeping in high school, and I didn't really like doing either one. And when I saved over that invoice, I will say it wasn't just the frustration of having lost the data and that knowing that this was a bad way to do things. It was clear to me that I had all these other coping mechanisms for not having a good system in place. And, every few weeks I would be like, oh my gosh, who owes me money and how much do they owe me? And I have to like practice forensic accounting. I'd go through my inbox and see, well, who did I send an invoice to? And like, I was just wasting all this mental energy, subconscious energy, wondering, if I'd have enough cash in the bank. And that's when I decided like, hey, I really don't like the accounting software that's available today. Why don't I just hack together a little something? Is a kind of side fun project for me because I was kind of learning programming at the time, and that's the rest, as they say, is kind of history.
It was time for someone to build a product that made the behind the scenes easier, so you could focus on the front of the house, so to speak.
Well, here's what I'd say is there were some products that performed accounting for small business, but they worked on your desktop computer. So they weren't in the cloud, and they were built for your accountant and not for you. And so I think the core thing that's always made FreshBooks different is, the people who find us and choose us are, making that selection. And it's because we're super easy to use versus having something sort of imposed upon them by their accountant or bookkeeper. And we believe that makes all the difference. Like our product, so like our actual vision for the product in sort of phase one is that you can successfully run your business without having to learn accounting, right? And the belief there is that you have so many other things going on. Frankly, you probably started going into business for yourself because of a passion versus a desire to do accounting and bookkeeping, that, we just believe you should be able to focus on your passion, not have to learn, debits and credits and some of these other concepts that, are frankly a tax on you doing what you love.
And that brings us to FreshBooks. Mike, Joe, and Levi had the core idea down for what the company would offer the world, but they also knew they wanted to build something special, a company you loved working for each day. They knew they needed that company to stand for something, to truly do things differently, if they really wanted to attract the best local talent. Now, while that's always true, it's especially true when you're first starting out.
Very early on in the building of this company, I kind of was just glommed onto the notion that culture is strategy, and building a great place that people want to come to is sort of also one of those things that gives me a lot of personal satisfaction. You can feel good about when you look around and people are really dialed in. Like, when I walk around the office here, there's really good energy and people are working hard. And, that doesn't just kind of happen. I think that notion of sort of mission-driven and the importance of culture was probably absent from the business schools for the most part. It just seemed like such a narrow path. So maybe here's another thing. And everyone kind of seemed on some levels the same. And when I look around FreshBooks, like we're such a diverse cast of characters that are kind of quirky and, you know, it's kind of like nothing like that. So maybe what I learned is I don't like that other thing. And it seems like we've built something very different here, which is enormously exciting to me. What we do here is much bigger than say me or that early idea. And we help so many people every month. Our mission at FreshBooks is to reshape the world to suit the needs of self-employed professionals and their teams. And we've done that with accounting software. We actually did that with the ability to sort of easily collect payments online, which was quite hard. It was really just like PayPal that was available. And we've made that much, much easier than it's ever been before and better suited to the customers that we serve. So with the way that we serve customers and kind of design product and the customer orientation that we have, I feel very lucky with how I spend my time. I feel like, you know, I'm having a really positive impact in the world, which is I'm super grateful for.
If you're familiar with Claire McDermott, maybe you can hear Mike's mother in those words. The premise behind her Kids Have Stress Too Foundation is to provide children with the tools to deal with stress effectively, while providing a program for parents, caregivers, and educators to understand childhood stress. So, let's fast forward a bit. With a passion for the problem they were solving and the customers they were solving it for, FreshBooks quickly rose to become the industry standard along with Intuit, with a full suite of accounting and back office products to help freelancers and small business owners. There are many additional competitors now, no shortage of them.
Well, to understand how it's different, I think just a little bit of context. What we were able to do from those humble beginnings, which you spent a lot of time talking about, was over the years, like I didn't know anything about building a product company at all. I had been doing consulting, helping people build their websites, you know, drive traffic to their sites, convert it to customers. That's what I was helping other people do. And so we applied a lot of those things to ourselves. But, you know, we've had to learn everything from sort of first principles. And along the way, we made some really great decisions. And eventually we got to a point where we realized, hey, like our technology platform's like a decade old. And that's generally about the time it's time to reboot things and new considerations to look after.
But Mike and his team stay on top of what each is doing to evolve the space.
And you fast forward to sort of 2014, we've actually built the market leading product for self-employed professionals and their teams. Like we created a new segment. Like nobody was serving or even talking about that segment at that time. So we're the leader, we're the biggest, we're number two to Intuit in North America for a cloud-based accounting software. So it's a huge success. But when we started looking into the future, we said, hey, this product's been great for the last 10 years, but, you know, in a few more years, do we really feel like we're winning with it? And the answer was, you know, not so sure. So we decided, why don't we replatform it?
Despite that leadership position in their new growing industry, in 2016, his team made a bold decision, rebuild FreshBooks. But here's how they did it. Quietly, but quickly, and fully in stealth mode, they built a new product called BillSpring that would compete directly with FreshBooks. New company, new website, everything, completely separate. After providing BillSpring to new customers for free for the first year and operating it for a total of about 18 months with no reference to FreshBooks at all, their data delivered the easy decision. BillSpring would become the completely new FreshBooks platform.
And what we wanted to do was, we want to set up the future for future success on a bunch of vectors. But I think one of the core things that we'd learned was over 10 years serving our customers, and we're, you know, doggedly customer focused and, you know, very service oriented, one of the few sort of companies in the world. We've, you know, sort of been recognized many places, many times for, you know, the great service that we provide. we just learn so much, right? So we learn better ways to serve our customers. And I just had this feeling like, hey, when we started this thing out, we made a bunch of design decisions. I actually think we can make our product easier to use. And that's going to help more people and ultimately save them time. And despite being the easiest to use on the market, despite being the industry leader for the segment that, you know, we created, frankly, you know, we just felt like we could make it, you know, far simpler. And so that's, you know, that was kind of the core thing. And then we get some other benefits with the new platform now.
Maybe you've heard the oft-quoted metaphor of building the plane or repairing the plane while flying it. It's a bad one, isn't it? You might be able to build a company on the fly, especially a software company, adding features and enhancements while the product is actually live, but you certainly can't build an actual plane while flying it. It's one of those ridiculous Silicon Valley metaphors. What Mike McDermott led his FreshBooks team to do was build a better plane, to keep the metaphor going. The FreshBooks plane was flying well, but Mike felt the market needed something better. So he built BillSpring, and it eventually became the next FreshBooks. Genius. Pulling something like this off is a tremendous lesson for other freelancers and founders. Sometimes the hardest thing you can do is to disrupt yourself. The Gary V's of the world would have you think companies big and small can and should be looking to do this continually. It's just not realistic for most of us. It's a hard thing to pull off. An excitable Gary Vaynerchuk, however motivational, never shares how companies can actually do such a thing. And yet, Mike McDermott did it with FreshBooks. He assigned a team to build and launch a competing product, all while continuing to sign up and serve customers on the legacy platform. That is self-disruption, and few can pull it off.
What makes us different, I'll just say as well, is we don't try to be for everyone. We believe, you know, the thing about the small business market is the different, you know, a restaurant is very different than like a freelancer. And so we don't do retail, we don't do restaurants, we don't do manufacturing, we just do service-based businesses, a lot of whom are self-employed, everything from like dog walkers to designers. And as they grow up, we scale with them and help them sort of work with their teams. And so we see a world, you know, going forward. I mean, it's so funny, and forgive me for the simplicity of saying this, but I think it's powerful and very true. The next thing the world needs, and sadly, small business owners are actually like they're behind consumers and they're behind like big, massive corporations in adopting technology. We actually see like the job number one is to like help people know, like, if you're not doing it this way, you're kind of doing it wrong.
Mike knows some things about freelancer success. His company has outstanding data on what makes freelance work work and what can get in the way of growing your business into something you can be proud of. His parting words?
I think you need to feed your passion. And what I mean by that is you need to deliberately make time. Like, first of all, I hope you're doing work that you love. So start there. Because if you're not, like, try to find something else. Feeding that passion and finding ways to focus your time in the right places is basically what I just said. But I think that's what gives you the energy and is going to recharge your batteries, because it's tough out there, right? Yeah. Like, we fundamentally believe, like, the insight our company is built on is the world is not built for self-employed professionals and their teams, right? Like, that's, you know, we're on a mission to reshape it so it is. And we hope to play a material helping hand in those of you who are out there kind of working on your own. But the point is, the world is not set up for you. In many ways, it's kind of stacked against you, or it hasn't caught up with what you're doing yet. Like, when I was a freelancer back in the day, people thought I was crazy, right? It was like, you know, I should have been working in an office tower. It's just one sort of example of how the world is changing to catch up with us. you know, in the meantime, do what you can to stay true to yourself and really focus in on that passion, because that's where your energy is going to come from. You're going to produce better work. You're going to attract better clients and you know, fundamentally build a better life for yourself.
And that's the story of Mike McDermott, founder of FreshBooks. Coming up next week, Sarah Morgan. You know her as XO Sarah.
You can't do things randomly if you want those, you know, 10,000 followers, 100,000 followers. Like the people with crazy Instagram accounts, they're scheduling everything in advance. They're writing their captions really strategically. They're pinning at they're Instagramming at specific times. Nothing they're doing is random, even though it looks random. I hear people all the time say like, oh, it would be so fun to be an Instagram influencer. You just like take photos and post. And I'm like, oh no, that's a full-time job. You have no idea.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Freelance to Founder.